Welcome to the Sisters in Spirit podcast with your host Kate
and Melanie. Welcome back to another episode, you guys. I'm so excited to be back here spreading the word of God. We have a really good episode for you guys to end off our first season. We're super excited. We've been so blessed throughout this whole process. It's been such a privilege to be able to speak the word of God and to begin to create this community. And I'm really grateful that we've had the opportunity to do this together as well.
Yeah, it's been like kind of like a bittersweet journey, because it's like, oh my gosh, our season is ending, you know, like, but we're going to continue. But it's kind of like, oh, this is like crazy to see that, you know, we've gotten this far and with God's help. So I'm grateful for the opportunity as well. And I think it's, you know, it's an exciting era that we're entering for season two also. So stay tuned.
And God's just been doing so many great things with our platform. Like, we've definitely been growing so much in the past few weeks. So I'm so grateful for all of that and for all of you guys that have been watching us and keeping up with us. So make sure that you continue to keep up with us, because even though we're going on a little break, we're still going to have content for you guys. So make sure that you're especially connected with us on Instagram and TikTok. So today we're going to be talking about a really important topic that I just think is a great way to end off the season, because our main goal with the season was to really provide a foundation for anybody who's new in their walk or who's been following Christ for a while. So this is just a really, really big topic that we need to talk about, because it's a very important part of your journey, and it's knowing your enemy. When you know who your enemy is and you know who God is, you'll be able to differentiate what comes from who, and you'll also be better equipped to fight against the enemy.
Yeah, and I think this is a topic, right, that people don't really talk about a lot. People don't talk about who the enemy is, like, and his qualities and how he attacks you, how he gets to you. And I think that's such an important thing to talk about, because who are we against, you know? The Bible tells us it's not against flesh and blood. No, it's everything is, like, spiritual. So we have to know what the spiritual warfare that's going on is.
Right, in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So a lot of people don't think about the spiritual realm and think about how everything that happens is also spiritual. But once you think of things that way, you'll be able to better combat the attacks of the enemy. When you realize that everything, even down to a simple argument you have with somebody, is spiritual. So once you start looking at things from a spiritual lens, you'll be better equipped to fight the good fight.
So for this episode, like she was saying, look at it in a spiritual lens. Like, don't think of it as like a physical thing. No, look at it, open up your eyes and see that it goes beyond physical, that it is spiritual. That everything is spiritual, and these experiences that you may have are spiritual. Like, it's not a physical battle all the time.
So let's talk about the enemy. He goes by many names: Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. He's all those things. I don't like talking about him, just because it's like, I hate giving him attention. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what he lives off of, like, when people give him attention. But it has to be talked about, though. You have to know. But he is the angel of light or darkness, because he fell and wanted to be like God. He was one of, like, the guardian cherubs in heaven. He was, like, a high acclaimed angel. He was very, like, adored by God. And he took that, and he wanted to be like God. He took the gifts that God gave him and manipulated them for his own use. And this also gives us, like, a little insight into, like, the angels, because they also have free will, clearly. They are willingly serving God. It's not that they're forced to serve God. And that's the same way that God created us and gave us free will to choose to serve him. And a lot of people say, like, oh, God could have just made us all serve him, but no, he blessed us with free will. Even his angels have free will to serve him.
Yeah, and we can also see that this free will is very general because he took a part of the angels with him. You know, it wasn't just him rebelling. He was convincing others also to rebel against God.
So let's go into Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. And this kind of gives you a little bit of insight of like how the devil fell. So it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." And that's really just saying how the enemy wanted to be greater than God. He wanted to be on that throne. He wanted to have ultimate control. And something else that I feel like a lot of people think about is like, oh, well, if God knew that Satan was going to do this, then why did he create him? And it's all because everything has a purpose. And we see that now. Like, yes, he got cast down to earth and now he has dominion, or he's going to have dominion over the earth. And it gives us more into that free will. When you have that temptation, are you still going to choose God? Are you still going to choose to serve him, even though you have all of this around you that seems appealing but really isn't?
I think it also goes back to having free will. You know, he made us to have free will. And now we have decided what to do with that free will. So it's not like he, you know, made us and was like, oh, I'm going to control every aspect of their lives. No, he gave us that free will. So we have made the decision to go against him.
Right. So this is kind of like his like villain origin story, I like to call it. Like, this is like how he came to be. And I actually read this a few weeks ago before we even started planning for this episode. And it kind of just like really hit me. Like, he was so like so blessed by God. And it's like crazy to see that like you can be so like adored and blessed by God and you still turn away. Like, you are like, it's just so like, it's mind boggling to me, honestly, what pride can do.
Like, you know, impactful, because he was described as somebody so beautiful with such like beautiful qualities. Yes. And I was like, wow, God really made you as this beautiful being, this majestic being, and you twisted that to say like, oh, I want to be my own creator, I want to be my own, you know, God. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's just crazy like how we can manipulate even the gifts that God gives us to do things that don't honor God. Like, that even takes me, like, I've been thinking a lot about, like, Hollywood and stuff lately. And I just think about, like, all of these musicians that are, like, so talented. And I'm like, can you imagine them, like, worshiping God? Like, it would be so beautiful and so amazing if people use the gifts that God gave them for God. But so many don't, and they manipulate them and use them for their own, like, glory. And this is something that we see here. So, in Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19, it says, "Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, You have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground, in the sight of all who are watching. All the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more.
I just find it, you know, when I read this, it was just very, like, I felt, not that I feel sorry for the devil, but I do think that, you know, it's so sad to see that someone who was so close to God and living in such glory would fall like that. Like, you know, like, what a fall from grace. Like, it's very difficult to hear that. And it burdens me because his fall brought many destruction.
And that also goes to show with kind of what we were talking about last week, like living righteously. When you don't live righteously, you affect your brothers and sisters. So see how Satan did not live righteously. He was consumed by sin, and he took the other angels, so many other angels with him, a third of them, of the angels with him. And it's like when you sin and when you don't live for God, like you take the people around you with you. And look at the destruction that he's caused. Look at all of the things that have happened in this earth because of sin. And all of the horrible things that happen in this world are because of sin. They're not because of God. They're because of sin. And who is the master of sin? The devil. And really, that is who we should be blaming when we think of those things. I think oftentimes people think, oh, well, God allows all of this to happen, but it's like, God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose our own decisions. So when we don't choose the right thing, when we choose to follow sin, when we choose to be manipulative from the gifts that he's given us, we're going to suffer the consequences. And even Satan has to suffer the consequences.
And I think what, you know, stands out in this, in these verses is that God mentions that he was created. He says, the day you were created, they were prepared. So he's saying, he's emphasizing, he is a creation. He is not a God. He is not who he thinks he is or wants to be. He was created.
If you guys remember, it said when we talked about the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, it said like before the like world was formed, like they were there. Like, God has always just been there. But Satan was a creation. So how can you worship another creation? They're no greater than you. So this passage, I like to say, is his mission. And it's more of a, like, metaphor. So you have to listen. So I'm going to just read it slowly so you can understand. So it's in Revelation 12:4. And it says, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled into the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. This is, like, so powerful. Like, I've read Revelation so many times. I feel like every time you read it, you understand more. And the first time I read this, I honestly didn't get it. I was, like, woman pregnant. Like, I did not understand.
Yeah. And then, you know, it kind of, that's why you have to see it with spiritual eyes. Because it kind of sounds like a fable, like a story. Right.
So when you actually, dig deep and, like, really try to understand, like, what it's saying, it's pretty much talking about, like, this woman almost represents, like, God's people. And these, like, the dragon, the serpent, is the devil. And he is on a hunt. He is on a hunt for the people of God. Why? Because he was banished from heaven. It says right here, he took a third of the, the stars, which is, like, that's representing, like, the angels, and flung them down with him. He was flung down to the earth, and when he got here, his mission was searching for the people of God. And that's what he's doing. And it says right here, he was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Like, so many people talk about spiritual warfare. That's what this is. It's the devil fighting against God's people. He wants people who follow God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus to fall. And you know what it is that it's like that same thing, that same quote that's like, misery needs company. He needs company. He knows where he's going. He knows that he's come to a terrible end. He knows what's going to happen. So he wants to take as many people as he can with him to suffer with him.
Yeah, and to think that, you know, he doesn't have any regrets about what he's doing. There is no, you know, that forgiveness that's within him. He repentance within him. He just wants to do evil upon evil. Like, there is no good in him whatsoever. And it's just difficult to understand that. Like, how can you be so evil? How can you do these malicious things? Like, what are you?
And even here where it says, like, he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Instead of thinking, my time is short, I need to repent, his thinking is, my time is short, I need to destroy. And I feel like in our day-to-day lives, maybe we encounter people with this attitude that almost everything they do seems to be to kill and destroy. Have you ever thought about praying for them? Have you ever thought maybe, like, let's look at this from a spiritual lens. I feel like so many times people have spirits, demons, and things that they don't know are, like, residing within them. They don't know. And so many people, even us as Christians, don't think about it in a spiritual lens. Like, okay, maybe this person has something deeper going on. And we don't pray for them. We're just like, oh, this person's horrible. They treat me terribly. Like, we have to remember that the enemy is at work. And for people who don't know God and don't have God in them, and open themselves up to the things of the enemy, they can very well be struggling with these spiritual things.
Listen, anyone who is not in God, they are serving the devil. In one form or another, you may think you are a great person, but if you're not serving God, you are serving the devil. You are leaning into his ways, his customs, and even though if you're not outrightly saying it and you don't know, that's what you're doing, because where are you going to end up? You're not going to be in heaven.
And it's like, when you think about how much the devil has his hand in things on earth, and you realize, okay, what I'm doing actually doesn't serve God. Even if you think you're such a good person, what music are you listening to? What things are you watching? What sins are you indulging in? Just because you're quote unquote a good person doesn't mean you're a good person in God's eyes. And just because of things that you consider good doesn't mean that they're actually good. Like, I literally think about, like, music all the time. Like, music is a very, very big, I feel like, gateway for the devil. Like, especially nowadays, like, he is using that to his highest advantage. Like, if you actually sit and listen to those, like, popular songs on the radio and listen to the lyrics, they are straight out worshiping the devil, no remorse. But we sing the lyrics, not even thinking of it. And this was something that God convicted me of about, like, 6-7 months ago. And I completely cut out all of that secular music because I was literally worshiping the devil, not even realizing the things I was saying.
Yeah, and if you look at Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ." So what is it that you're listening to? What is it that you're feeding your soul with? Is it this music that's tainted by the devil, or is it what God wants you to hear? You know, and I think that's a lot of times the reasons why we have these Christians that, you know, are half in, half out, and they're asking, like, why is it that I'm feeling this way? Why is it that God doesn't speak to me? Like, what is it that you're indulging in that's preventing you from fully seeking God or fully hearing from God?
And we also have to think about, like, your ears are a gateway, your eyes, your mind, like, your mouth, like, everything is a gateway. And you have to think about things like that. Like, the things that you watch, the things that you, and this other thing, like, it says, I can't tell you right now, like, where in the Bible, but, like, out of your heart is, like, when you see somebody's actions, like, you can tell where their heart is. And so if you are acting in a certain way that doesn't please God, I can tell where your heart is. I can tell that you don't serve God.
Yeah, and if you think about Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life."
Right.
Your heart contains life or death. Whatever action you take from your heart is what is going to be either the matter of life or death.
And when you open yourself up to these gateways to the enemy, he's going to utilize them. He's going to fill your ears with gossip, with hatred, with music that's not serving God. He's going to fill your eyes with things that you shouldn't be seeing, sexual desires, lust, all types of things. And he's going to take control of your mind. When you give the enemy an inch, he's going to take a meter. He's not gonna stray from God. Like, he's like, no, I'm going to go full blown and try to get this person derailed. And if you're not in God, you have no armor against him. Like, it talks about the armor of God, and that armor of God is for spiritual warfare, for you to fight against the enemy. So if you don't have that, then how are you fighting against the enemy? You're completely susceptible to his attacks.
And something I heard recently is that, you know, when you have a sin that you are struggling with, that instead of, like, slowly letting go of it, you have to automatically just cut it off. Because it's kind of like, if you leave a crack, if you're slowly closing a door, the door is still open, you know?
Right.
There's still stuff that is coming in that is consuming your life. And for some people, you know, it may work slowly closing that door, but once you know who you are in Christ and you have that power in Christ, you're able to shut that door completely and not, you know, deadbolt it and everything. Like, no. So I think it's important that once you see that sin that you're struggling with, ask God to completely get it out of your life. Don't try slowly to, like, with your own strength. No, asking God to completely shut it.
So now, like, who is the devil? Like, what? We understand, like, where he came from. We understand what his mission is, which is to derail the people of God, to take as many people as he can with him to hell. So, like, what is he here for? Like, what is the purpose? And it says right here in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And this is Jesus saying this. Satan is the thief. He comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his purpose, and that is what he is going to do for as long as he has the opportunity to do it. because as it said previously, his time is short and he knows it. He's going to utilize his time to take as many people with him. But Jesus came to be the restorer. He restored our connection with God. He restored us from our sin. He gave us new life. He made us a new creation in him. He gave us a new heart. So how can you follow somebody whose only method and whose only goal is to steal, kill, and destroy when you have a God sitting here telling you, I'm here to restore. I'm here to give you life. I'm here to give you a new heart. Why would you not accept that gift? I understand that it's hard. And I feel like people think like, oh, like you're a Christian, you don't get it. And it's like, no, like we've been through it. I've been through it. Like I've been with God and I've been not with God. And I know, like I understand it's hard. Even following God is hard. It is not all peaches and rainbows and it's not fun. Nothing is fun on this earth because this world only has to offer sin and death because this is where the devil has his way.
Yeah, and the Bible doesn't tell us that serving God is going to be easy. You know, he makes us a great and beautiful path towards him, but that doesn't mean that there's going to be like rainbows everywhere and that we're going to be these people that know everything all the time. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have difficult journeys. And that's what the Bible is for, too, to show us that there are people that suffered even greater than us, that they suffered and they still serve God, yeah. That they still made it to heaven. So our struggles are not like those of the people in the Bible. And that's not to invalidate people's struggles. But they're really not. In the times that we're living in, like, I do understand that there are people that are in these concentration camps that are struggling. Like, those are real struggles, you know? But we, the people here, we haven't struggled like that. And we can't even take the time to serve God. Like, what is it that we are doing? It doesn't make sense.
And like I said, I understand it's hard, especially going from being in the world to following God. Some people have this like beautiful fire from the Holy Spirit right away and they're just like into it. And other people, they struggle to get into it. It's hard to like transition out of a life you've been so used to living to something completely new that you just don't understand. And I understand that, but there's still like, you have to think about it in a spiritual manner. The devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you to turn away from God. Don't give him that prize. Don't give him that validation. Don't be another body in hell suffering with him when you have the opportunity. Like I said last episode, as long as you have life, as long as God bless you with air in your lungs, you have the opportunity to serve God today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until next week. And I had like a really big problem with this. Like, oh, well, on this day, like I'm going to get it together and I'm going to like start with my, like, no, do it now because you don't know if you have that day. As long as you have air in your lungs now, as long as you have breath in your lungs now, praise God now.
Yeah, that's why they say the day of salvation is now. It's today. They always say that. And I'm like, back then I used to be like, today, when's the next one coming up? But no, it's every single second is an opportunity for salvation. Any second is the opportunity for you to say, hey, I want to serve God. I want to get to heaven. I want to love God.
And God is not seeking children who are perfect. Because if he wanted children who are perfect, he would have not given us free will. Because there is just no way. And we see that in the Old Testament, that they had all of these regulations to be holy and they could never live up to it. And that's why Jesus came, to give us that bridge. Because without Jesus, we can never be seen as holy in the eyes of God. We are filled with sin from the moment we are born to the moment we die. But Jesus is the one that washes us with his blood, that cleanses us of our sin. So we need to take advantage of the gift that Jesus gave us by dying on that cross. And so we can have that connection with our God, that we can be in Christ. It's just such an important thing. It's like once you're dead, you have no more opportunities. You are done. You have no more opportunities. This physical life is all that you have. And even though you are following God and you're going through things, the enemy's still going to try to attack you. He's going to take those vulnerable moments and put in little things of temptation, trying to derail you. But you need to stand firm in Christ.
Yeah, and to know that anything he does is a manipulation and that he is just a copy or an illusion of power. He tries to copy what God does, but of course he'll never reach that because he is not God and he never will be. And we can see in Exodus, right, that the magicians, when Moses went to the Pharaoh to perform these signs to show him, like, hey, my God is real, let these people go, the magicians try to recreate those signs. And they were able to recreate, I believe it was 2 or 3, but then after that, they could not. But that just goes to show, right, that there is this false sense of power within people that the devil has implanted in their mind. This false sense of illusion that they think that they can trick others into believing what the devil has made. And that's just not going to happen. And these magicians ended up even realizing that God is real, that his God is powerful. They even said in Exodus 8:19, this is the finger of God. They recognize that immense power that they cannot even replicate.
And another thing you need to keep in mind is that Satan knows there's a God. The demons know that there's a God. There's so many people who do these false illusions. The tarot cards, the, what is it, like palm reading, yeah. The, even future what's telling. The thing? The astrology?
Oh, yeah, astrology.
Like astrology, the crystals, the manifestation. Those are all illusions of the devil. That is God. That is the devil taking God's word, taking what God gave us and manipulating it. Manifestation is a manipulation of prayer. That's what that is. When you're going to crystals asking for things, that's a manipulation of what you would do with Christ, asking God for his desires. But when you manifest, when you're asking crystals for things, you're not asking for God's will. You're asking for your own will. And that's the issue. But the Satan uses all things that he can to manipulate us into serving anything else but God. He'll take everything that God made and manipulate it into like some weird like self-serving like item. It's so odd.
He does that also with like love. You know, love is such a beautiful thing, but he converts it into lust.
Exactly.
Like he tries to make good things very, very evil. And like you were saying, he distorts it and manipulates it for a self-serving, self-seeking
like purpose,
guidance.
And it's like he does these things in a way that if you don't know God, they seem awesome. They seem great. Oh, I really want this. Well, I can like really like put my mind on it and keep asking for it, the universe, and I'm gonna get it.
Or they seem
to exist.
They seem normal. That's something that he's trying to do so much now. He's trying to normalize a lot of things.
Yes.
Like rather than be like something special, he's like, this is gonna be the norm for society because I know that's how I'm gonna get most people to indulge in whatever it is he wants them to.
Exactly.
And we can also see that not only does he manipulate, right, but he tempts, which can be a form of manipulation.
Right.
We can see that with Adam and Eve. He was telling them, like, eat from this fruit that nothing's going to happen to you. You're going to be like God. And they were so, they wanted to be, I don't want to say they wanted to be like God, but maybe, who knows? Who knows their mentality at that time? But they wanted to indulge in whatever he was saying. But Adam knew. That's why Adam, we need to kick Adam out. Because Adam knew that he was supposed to eat from there. But he knew that God had said, you shall surely die from eating from that tree. But he still ended up doing it because of the manipulation of the devil that got through the woman.
And that also goes to show you can know the truth and still be tempted and still fall to temptation. Because Adam and Eve, literally first book of the Bible, that's what they do. And they are the first humans. They are the beginning. And look at what they did. So even if you're a Christ follower, you can still be tempted and you can still fall into temptation. And the thing is that also, look at how Satan manipulated that. Because he said, like, you're not going to die. Because what they thought was physical death. But the death that they really had was spiritual. Yeah. So he took that and he manipulated it. And he was like, well, you're not going to die. And they didn't die physically. But spiritually, they were dead after they disobeyed God, after they sinned.
Yeah, and, you know, so a question that some people, you know, a valid question that people ask is, why was the devil even in the garden, right? And, you know, I had this question myself when I was younger. I was like, what was the point of him being there? Like, if he wasn't there, we would live happily forever. But God is a fair God. If God didn't make the choice or let us have the choice to go against him, then he wouldn't be a fair God. Because we would only ever know him and we would only serve him because that's all we know. But if we know that there's good and evil, we understand that there's good and evil, we can make the choice. And that's why free will is a thing. Because God doesn't want us to be these robots that do everything at his command. So that is the reason as to why he was there.
I want to touch on that really quick, because this is something that just came to mind that I actually saw. I see a lot of people ask often, is if we have free will, but God knows everything we're going to do, isn't everything we're going to do already like predestined, predetermined? And it's not. Just because he knows what you're going to choose doesn't mean he's manipulating what you will be choosing. You have the option to do whatever it is you please. Yes, we should obey God because it's in our best interest. It's in our best interest to obey God. If he wanted to force us to obey him, then he would. He wouldn't have given Adam and Eve any temptation. We'd still be right with God. I mean, I'm sure they would have sinned eventually. Because it's like in human nature. I mean,
somebody
was going to mess up. Somebody was going to do something. But like if he didn't give them that option, then that would be him controlling our destiny. If he didn't even give them the option of like, this is evil. Are you going to fall? He did give us that option. He gave us the opportunity to choose. So yes, we do have free will. Our actions are not predestined. He knows what we're going to choose. He knows what the outcomes will be, but that doesn't mean that he's controlling what we choose.
Yeah, and something that I noticed that is I find so interesting is that when, if you look in the Bible, when somebody prays to God and asks him for something, God changes his decision. And I feel like that's so impactful because, not because he doesn't know what is already going to happen, but he's showing us that prayer has an importance, that the way you talk to the Lord has an importance. And I find that very, very interesting. And it shows us how to have a connection with the Creator also. So I think it's not a matter of like, oh, God planned this, this, and this, this, and that. Well, yeah, but like, we also make decisions in our life
that bring us to that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, if we look at James 1:13-14, it says, no one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. And I thought this was a very interesting verse, right? Because it shows that God cannot be tempted at all. Because he is very, very superior to the devil. Like, he thinks of the devil as very lowly. So he's not even going to, like, have that into consideration, any temptation. And he does not tempt anyone else. Because he's not an evil being. He does not have any evil within him. So he's not going to bring these hard trials where you can't get out of it. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And again, it's showing that he does not tempt you, but he allows the devil to tempt you. He allows the devil to get close to you as a test of your faithfulness. It's not because he's evil or he wants to like see you fall. No, it's because he's testing. And in that testing process, that is when you can grow closer to God or either fall.
Like we talked about in the faith episode, like you will be tried by fire. You're going to be tested to increase your, what was the word that we used? I really like the word that we used. It was like, I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but it's just like to increase like your in
endurance.
It's not endurance. It's
faith.
It was like endurance. It was something like that. Endurance is not the word, but something along those lines. Like you just
I can't even say it. Perseverance.
Perseverance. Yeah. Yes. To like so that you can persevere. Like you need to be tested so that you can grow. The same way that people say you need trials in order to grow, you need the hard times, you need to make mistakes to grow, and it's true. So God gives us the opportunity to make difficult choices, to go through difficult times so that we can learn to lean on him, so that we can be strengthened in our faith.
Yeah, and it says he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There is always going to be a choice to do good or bad. And no matter how difficult it may seem or look to you, there is always a choice. There is always a choice to either faithfully serve God or turn your back on him. Because he's telling us that there is a way out. That there, in every situation, in every temptation, there is a way out. So, for example, with sexual immorality, it says to flee from sexual immorality. There is a way out for everything. So another example that we see is Jesus in the wilderness when he went to go fast for 40 days. And during this fasting process, the devil went and tried to tempt him. He was trying to tell him, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, do this and that. Call these angels to save you.
Yeah, throw yourself in the mountain. The angels will save you.
Yeah, and it just goes to show how he tries to manipulate God's word. He tries to do that not only in situations, but he tries to do that in over your mentality. He tries to tell you what you are not. And he tries to distort the view of God's word. And we see that in society a lot because there's a lot of misinterpretation that is out there about the Bible that he is causing. Because he wants people to view the word as either, oh, this is something for myself so I can interpret it this way. And this is the only way. And that it's going to serve me only. That I'm going to distort these verses so that it could serve me. Because I've encountered people that they read the Bible and they only believe in sections of it.
They like nitpick.
That doesn't make sense to me. But that's what he's doing now. He wants people to partially believe the word. And when I say partially, you're just not believing in the word at all. And he wants us to distort our view on what God is saying. So he's telling Jesus all these things. And what I find so beautiful is that Jesus counters him and said, hey, like, I'm not going to believe anything that you're saying because I know my Father and I know who God is, and that I know that you are a liar, that you are a stealer, and that none of this power that you're offering me, none of this temptation that you're offering me is greater than God. So I just found that so beautiful to see that he was able to counter him like that.
And this is also another important reminder why we need to be in our word. Even the devil knows his word. If the devil knows his word, how are you, the follower of Christ, not going to know your word? Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how can you as a follower of Christ not know your word, but the devil knows his word? He knows the word. He knows the Bible back and forth, but you don't. Like, that's why it's so important to know your word. And the other thing that I wanted to touch on is that even Jesus wasn't exempt. Even Jesus wasn't exempt from Satan tempting him. No one is exempt. You could be the biggest pastor. You're not exempt. No one is exempt from the temptations of the devil. He's going to attack anybody at any time, however he possibly can.
It goes to show also that when you are praying or trying to rebuke the devil, to use God's word.
Yes.
Don't rely on your own words and your own understanding. Use his word, because even Jesus used the word. Jesus said to him in Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. For it is written." He's using the word of God against the devil. So again, don't rely on yourself, on your own words. Use the word of God. And that will help you so, so much.
And touching on something you said earlier, I feel like the biggest victory that the enemy has, like, on this generation is getting them to not even believe in him. Like, to believe that there is nothing. To believe, like, there is no God, there is no devil, do as you please. I feel like that's the biggest, like, thing that's been pushed on, like, this generation. Like, everything is okay to do. There is no wrong. Everything is okay. Like she said, everything that's not right, everything that's manipulated by the devil is being normalized, because everyone's being told nothing you do is wrong. Everything's good. Do whatever you want. And that's not what it says in God's word. And I feel like as believers of Christ, we need to stand up in what we believe in and in what God says is right and wrong, because we know the devil is going to take everything that it says in the Bible and manipulate it to serve him instead.
Yeah, and an example in my life of how I saw this temptation, like, it's not something so crazy, but I was just laughing about it, because I have this class where we do, like, quizzes, and after the quiz, you win a prize. So this day, I had been feeling that I kind of needed to fast, so I was like, okay, you know what, this day I'm going to fast. And when I went to the class, for the first time ever, because he puts us in little groups, for the first time ever, we won the quiz. And I was like, oh, this never happens, right? So what was the prize that day? Tell me, what was the prize? Some candy. That has to be the devil? Because we never win. So the day that I choose to fast, right? He was like, oh, here's some candy.
So tell us, what did you do?
I ate the candy.
She failed.
I'm sorry, God. I failed. I definitely ate the candy, right? But that just goes to show that, like, he's evil.
That's evil. Crazy.
He tempted me with that candy.
I really thought you were going to say you didn't eat the candy. Yeah. Well, don't do that. Fight the temptations of the devil.
So my next point, that he knows you and your habits, because he knows I'd be liking candy.
But that's another thing. Satan observes you. Yeah. I think people think, like, people really, like, confuse God's power and Satan's power. Yes, God is, like, the force of good and Satan is the force of evil, but they don't have the same amount of strength. Like, the devil is not in, like, your mind, and, like, he doesn't know your innermost, like, feel. Like, what he does is he observes you. He sees your habits.
He kind of feels like a stalker.
Yeah. Yes. He sees your habits. He sees how you react to certain things. He sees what pushes you to the edge. And he's like, all right, I'm going to use this. I'm going to throw this out into the air and see what she does.
He definitely analyzes who you are.
Exactly.
And he might even know you more than you know yourself. He knows what's going to irk you and what's going to get you to sin and to fall. And that's why it's important to do what the Bible says. To pray continuously.
That was today's verse of the day. I woke up, it says pray continually. It's like 1 Thessalonians something. Wait, I'm going to tell you right now.
To pray without ceasing, because when you are constantly praying, you have this spirit within you that is serving God throughout the day. Because if you are not in this prayer mode and you're not seeing with the spiritual eyes of God, you're not going to understand what is happening sometimes, and you are going to fall.
The verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's pray continually. That's today's verse of the day. That's how you know. Literally, the way that God does things, so crazy.
The point. No, but it's so important to have that, to always have God in your mind constantly. Obviously, you're not going to go crazy like, Lord, like, no.
But stay in a prayerful state.
To be thinking constantly and to be aware that there's a devil out there. Because if we're not praying continuously, let's say that there's a situation that we could respond badly to, like somebody yelling at us or something. What's going to end up happening is our flesh is going to take over and we're going to sin. That's what we're going to end up doing if we're not in communion with the Holy Spirit and God.
Right.
And it says to be vigilant. So in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
This is such a... I'm so happy you talked about this. I'm so happy you talked about this.
This verse, like, I love this verse because it shows an example of the devil. Like, I can imagine it. Like a lion stalking you, like a prey. And to know that God goes in front of that lion is just something that's so beautiful. To know that he's able to shut the mouth of the lion is just... And I like how it says... as a roaring lion, because we know the lion, who the lion actually is.
Exactly.
He's a copy. It shows that he's just a copy.
He's just like, he's a fake. Like he acts like he is something that he is not. Exactly. He acts like he is God when he is not.
Yeah, and that's because, and that's also why we know that the devil is working overtime. He's putting in so many hours to see people fall. Like, I've heard so many stories and testimonies of people into witchcraft that they spend hours praying to the devil, hours sacrificing and doing all of these things for the devil. So that's why we need to do the same with God.
And even those people know that God exists.
Exactly. We need to do the same with God. We need to dedicate so much time to prayer and sacrifice, fasting. Fasting, don't eat candy.
Don't break your fast with candy.
It's so important because there is evil that is, what's the word? Amenting?
That's like, it's brewing.
Yeah. You're saying. Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, like evil is increasing. There we go. It's increasing day by day. So we need to counter that. As Christians, we need to counter that.
And the same way that, like she said, like those people that worship the devil, they're working overtime. If you see all these different religions, like Muslims, like they're working overtime.
Muslims pray like five times a day.
They're doing the work. And it's like, why is us as Christians that worship the Almighty God are not doing the work? And another thing I want to talk about this verse that is so important. Be sober, be vigilant. To be a sober mind. So many people like to forget about this. They're like, oh, well, the Bible doesn't tell me I can't drink. Well, Jesus drank wine. I hate when people say that. I like when people say that, I'm like, please stop. Listen, first of all, back then, the wine was like juice. For you to get drunk, you had to drink like probably a whole vase full because it was different back then.
And actually, wine had health benefits. It's still
because it wasn't so there wasn't like the same amount of alcohol content.
Exactly. So even now, some wine does have health benefits, but it's not like you're gonna go get drunk off of it. Like,
wait, I'm laughing so hard because have you seen that video of that barber that's like, it's just alcohol.
Oh, I was saying like that.
No, I haven't seen that. Alcohol. But yeah, so people try to like say like, oh well, I can drink, like, there's nothing wrong with drinking. But the issue is, me personally, like, I'm not gonna drink.
Or a lot of people do that with, like, weed. Yes, they'll say, like, oh, it's not that bad, like, you know.
Oh, it's from the earth.
Why are we doing the voice?
But this is why. This is the issue. Because the enemy is vigilant. He's watching you. When you are not of sober mind, when you are not 100% there, he's going to take that moment, he's going to manipulate it, and he's going to use it to his advantage. Don't you see when people get drunk, they go out, they continue to drink even more to the point that your body's sick. So are you praising God when you're throwing up over the toilet? Are you praising God when you're over here seeking a bunch of women? Are you praising God when you're over here sleeping with a bunch of different people because you're so drunk you don't even know what you're doing?
No,
you're not seeking God. You're opening up the doors to the devil. So you have to think about the things you're doing. Okay, if I have this drink, is this going to make me want to drink more and eventually get to the point of getting drunk? If the answer is yes, then don't drink.
And that, you know, being drunk causes so many accidents, like a lot of car accidents. And I recently saw on the news, this kid, he got kicked out of a bar, he was drunk, and he ended up in a lake dead. Like, being drunk, you're not sober, and you're going to make many mistakes that may even lead to death of yourself or others.
And I feel like during that time, like, if you're drunk, like, you're almost allowing, like, spirits to manifest into you. Because the way, like, there's people who get, like, so, like, angry, or, like, there's just a lot of things that manifest in people when they are under the influence, and they act like completely different people than they would normally. And I really do believe that that is the devil allowing spirits to manifest in you, because you've opened that door. And the thing about weed, I feel like people try to dismiss weed as like, oh, it's whatever. But you, when you are high, you are not in sober mind. You have opened the doors to the devil. A lot of people, like, what, they get sad, or they get, like, really into their mind and into their thought. Like, and you're not focusing on God. They can't tell me that you smoke weed and then you start reading your Bible and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to start praying. No, you're not.
Oh, but, like, and not only that, but weed could lead to other drugs. It can lead you down a path that is not correct. Because once you get that high, you want to seek that high constantly.
Right.
That's why you use weed.
And that becomes your God. That becomes your idol. Now all you want to do is get high. You're not thinking about serving God anymore. You're thinking about serving that feeling, looking for that feeling.
Yeah. And that's why as Christians, it's important to pray for others. Pray over strongholds and curses, because there are curses that are generational, that go into families, that go into children. It's important to pray over those people and pray over yourself for God to reveal anything that is in your heart, so that we may not fall for these temptations, that we may always be vigilant. And Matthew 26:41 says, "Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Right.
That verse is so important, because it's telling us, again, it's going back to pray without ceasing. Once you're praying continuously, you're not going to fall into temptation. So you're not going to enter into temptation. That's what it's saying. It's not saying so you can't enter temptation. It's saying you won't enter into temptation. So that's why it's so important to pray all the time. And also, it's showing us that the flesh is something that's very strong, and we need to weaken it. And how do we weaken it? By praying, fasting, and getting into the Word, and getting closer to the Lord.
And that also comes into, like, self-control. Like, there's this video that I saw that was like, when you become the master of your own body, make yourself submit to the Lord. And that is so, you have to become the master of your body. You have to be able to tell your body, no, I'm going to praise God. No, I'm going to go to church. No, I'm going to read the Word. No, I'm going to spend time in prayer. You have to force yourself to do these things until it becomes second nature. And I know, like, force kind of sounds like a, like, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but you have to make yourself submit.
Yeah. When, like, for example, the gym, people really want to lose weight, but they find it hard to go to the gym and dedicate the time.
You force yourself to go until you go all the time without even thinking about it. And that's what you need to do with the Lord. You need to serve the Lord so much that it becomes second nature. And even when it comes second nature, keep making yourself do it, because the enemy is going to be on the prowl trying to get you to be derailed from the path.
You know how to run fast.
Yeah.
You need that exercising. But again, it's just about the discipline part. Discipline yourself so you can be able to get closer to the Lord, and you can avoid temptation. You can avoid falling into temptation, because temptation will come, for sure. But but you can avoid falling into it. So always keep that in mind. Praying continually.
The Holy Spirit also has given us discernment. And when we are tapped into God, when we are praying continually, when we are in our word, when we are constantly in that prayerful state, constantly connected with God, the Holy Spirit will better be able to speak to us, give us discernment. Like, if you are truly following God, you, or even if you're not, like, you've definitely felt that, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Like, you've definitely had that feeling. And when you're serving God, you get that feeling from the Holy Spirit that's going to tell you, listen, whatever you're about to do, don't do that. Don't get into that argument. Don't say that. Walk away. Like, don't do this sin. Like, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you and give you discernment onto what are the things of God and what aren't. And a big part is knowing who God is and knowing who the enemy is. And that's why we did this episode, because you can know who God is, but if you don't know what the enemy's characteristics are, your, like, flesh is going to get yourself confused and think, oh, all these things come from God, when they don't. God is good. God is just. He's fair. God is loving. He's a provider. He blesses us. He cares for us. He loves us. He sacrifices for us. The enemy lies. He steals, he kills, he destroys, he manipulates. So when you have a thought, you have to run it through this, like, list. Is this in God's character to put this thought in my mind, or is this in the enemy's character to put into my life? And when you start thinking of things in this way, you'll better be able to block the attacks of the enemy. When you get a thought that's like, oh, like, you're not good enough. Is that God telling you that you're not good enough, or is that the enemy telling you you're not good enough? Because God has never once said you're not good enough. God has never once said, I don't care about
you. If you would pray continually and read your word, you would know that God doesn't say that about you.
And I feel like in those times, like, if I get, like, a negative thought, like, the Holy Spirit allows the word to come into my mind, and I get reminded, like, or in a time of fear, like, fear does not come from God. I want to really emphasize this, because fear does not come from God. When it talks about fearing God in the Bible, it's talking about respecting him. It's not talking about being afraid of him. The enemy brings fear, guilt, all of those negative feelings come from the enemy. So when you feel like fear, especially when you're going to do something that is pleasing in God's eyes, that's the enemy. Like I talked about a few weeks ago, like when I was going to get baptized, I was so scared. And I was like, why am I scared to do something that is going to please God? Do something that God has called me to do. But it's the enemy trying to stop me, trying to make me so scared that I won't submit to God and I won't follow what God's calling over my life.
And I think it's normal sometimes to have a fear and nervousness, but it's kind of what you do with it.
Right.
Because things happen. We're human. We're going to feel stuff. Like, if I have a presentation, I'll be nervous, right? But it's what you do with it. Is it going to hinder me from doing this presentation? It shouldn't. Is it going to hinder me from doing God's will? No, because Moses was scared. He was like, nah, man, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But it didn't hinder him from doing what he needed to do.
And as well, I feel that the enemy, like, it honestly, like, frustrates me, because I feel like he takes times, obviously, when you're most vulnerable, to put in those negative thoughts. And I feel like often, especially if you're new in your walk, he's going to make you feel guilty for your sin. When God has come and he died, he had his son die for your sins and wash away all guilt, wash away your sins at the bottom of the ocean, the enemy is going to bring those sins up and he's going to be like, well, you're not worthy of following God because you've done this, this, and this, and you should be ashamed of yourself. But God was like, no, I delivered you from that. I set you free. I set you free from guilt and shame.
And it's never about worth, because if it's about worth, then we're not worthy. But it's about grace.
Yes.
God gave the grace of Jesus dying for us on the cross so that we may be able to have salvation. So if you're like, oh, I don't feel worthy enough, like, okay, you're not. It's just that Jesus died for you, so now you are worthy.
Exactly.
That is the only reason that's why it says that we cannot go to the Father without going to the Son. Because it's because of his grace. So always remember that your foundation is not built on what you did or what you're doing. It's about what God did for you, what Jesus did for you. So when the devil tries to tell you, oh, but you did this, but you did that, okay, be like, Jesus died for me.
He saved me from that. Yeah. He redeemed me from that. Exactly. And that's why you need to know your word. You need to be like locked in with God, because when you're locked in with God, then when you hear those thoughts, when you like get into this like negative mindset, you'll be able to get out of it because God is giving you the tools to be pulled out of it. And a way that I feel that the enemy also attacks is by giving you doubt, telling you like, you can't do this. Like, you're not going to get out of this situation. Like, you're not going to be able to pay your bills this month. God has provided for you in every way. And God has said that he will provide for you. God has said that everything that you ask that is in his will be done. If it is in his will. So if you're not receiving something, then it's either not in his will or it's not the right time. Because everything that God does is in his perfect timing. Our timing is not the perfect timing. And this is something that even I have been struggling with. And it's hard. And like that doubt creeps in. Like, is God going to pull through? Like, is God going to like deliver me? Like, is God going to provide for me? Like, is God going to do this? But all of those thoughts, all of that doubt is from the enemy. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to take away your faith in what God is going to do. But in those times, more than ever, stay strong in that fight. Stay strong and be like, no, my God said that he's going to provide for me. My God said that anything that I desire in his will, he will do. And once you believe that and you truly have faith in God's word and what he's going to do in your life, God's going to deliver at the right time. And you have to believe in that. Don't let the doubt of the enemy steer you away from the blessings that God has for you.
And I believe that to be like a testing of your faith.
Exactly.
And a lot of times you have to go through certain situations to recognize who God is. There is a moment where you will go through this season where you don't have much money, where you don't have the rent money. But that is a time for you to really put your trust in the Lord. And then you learn that he is your provider. There's a moment where you might be sick, where you're feeling like your health is deteriorating so much. And once you put your faith in the Lord, you will know that he is your healer. So a lot of times it's not that this situation was for no reason. It produces something. It produces a testimony and it produces more faith within you. So again, a lot of times these trials are not just, oh, the devil's tempting me so bad. Like, no, it's a testing too.
The devil's tempting me so bad.
Like, it's a testing of your faith also.
And like, I highly suggest that you read the book of Job. If you are in your Job, I'm in my Job season.
Nah, man, I don't think anyone is in their Job season.
Okay, not that bad. But, you know, like in that season of like, you feel like everything's like not going your way. And it's like, God, when are you going to pull through? Like that Job season. And it's like, it's hard and the enemy is going to come after you. But it's the testing of,
Lord, free me from a Job season. No, no, man.
But also, the last thing I want to get into is don't give Satan more credit than what is due. Don't give him more credit than what is due. Because I feel like oftentimes we think, oh, like, this is from the devil. That's from the devil. This is, like, what did you do? I feel like a lot of times, like, people try to just blame every bad thing on the enemy. But it's like, a lot of times it's the consequences of our own actions and our own sin and our own lack of faith, our own giving into temptation. And I feel like oftentimes we give Satan way more credit than what's due. Like, let's be real. He has no power compared to God. And like I said, all he does is do what? He watches you and he places the obstacles to see how you're going to react.
What you're gonna do. That reminds me, I was listening to this video and he was saying that a lot of people suffer from their health. And if you notice, a lot of people do not eat good. So then they want to try to blame like other factors of them not being healthy, of them having so much sicknesses. And like, hello, you're not even eating good. Like, you're eating all this fast food, you're eating all this junk, and then you want to blame the devil, like, hey, you brought this sickness upon me.
Right.
Like, no.
But what did you do?
To take steps in your life to be sure that it is not you who's making yourself in that bad situation.
And it's also like, how can you ask God for good health but not take care of the temple he blessed you with? How can you ask God to set you free from addiction while you continue to indulge in your addiction? How can you ask God to, oh, God, strengthen me, but you don't seek God so he can strengthen you? Like, you, a lot of things are not just, oh, the devil's doing this in my life. Like, no, like, what are you doing? He's not more powerful than God is. And honestly, God, with the power and the strength that God's put in us, he's not stronger than we are in Christ. So if you are in Christ, he's not stronger than you are. Don't give him the power that he does not have. Don't give him the dominion over your life that he does not have.
So it's important to also have discernment, because when you have discernment, you're able to tell when it's an attack from the enemy or it's just like natural, like life or whatever. Because again, not everything is the enemy. You know, sometimes life is just life.
Right.
And things happen.
The consequences of sin.
Of other people. Exactly. Yeah. We have to suffer that sometimes.
And we give him ammunition when, like, we fall for his deception. When we allow his negative thoughts to come into our lives, we give him ammunition to keep going. When you fall into temptation, he's like, all right, so now I know this is what works. I'm going to keep pushing her in this way. Until you stop and you're like, no, in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to flee. And that's another thing. We have power in the name of Jesus Christ. We can cast away devils, the devil, demons, spirits, we can cast them away in the name of Jesus Christ, not in our own power, but in the power of Jesus Christ that he's given us. People, I feel like this is like something that not, like, there's like certain Christians that like don't think about the spiritual side. Like, there's a spiritual side to this. Everything is spiritual.
What's the point of praying if you're not believing in, right, the spiritual side?
Like everything is spiritual. Like, demons are real. People are possessed. Spirits are in people.
Even people inside churches.
Exactly. Just because you claim to follow God doesn't mean you're really following God. And we know that.
We know that a lot of times the devil does go into churches to destroy the church.
I don't know if you guys saw that, like, revival. I want to say last year, like, the Ashbury revival. And it was, like, a church. Yeah. And then this girl or something comes in and she's, like, screaming. Like, she's, like, just, like it was, like, a shriek. Like, it was just, like, they're all praising God continuously. It was, like, for, like, days, wasn't it? Like, yeah. Days and days of, like, praising God, praying. Like, it was, like, a very big group of people that was even outside. It was beautiful. And there was, like, a girl that came in and she was just, like, shrieking. Like, shrieking. And that, what do you think that was? You think she was just doing that for fun? Like, no, like, that was the enemy who manifested himself in her, the demon possessed in her, trying to disrupt the work of God. That's what it is. So we have to, when we see things, we have to think of things in a spiritual manner. Anger issues, depression, all things, sexual morality, everything. Like, we have to think of things from a spiritual perspective.
And we didn't get into it this episode, but there are demons that do different things,
right,
that turn, like, people blind. Jezebel, yeah, stuff. They do many many stuff. And stuff.
I don't even want to say your names.
There's a lot of demons that do those different things, and that would be like more of a, like, a demonology study, right. But, like, you know, we gave the foundation of, you know, who God is, the journey with him, and who we're going against. So I think this episode was very good to just really explain to people the whole process and the truth, you know, what it is that we follow and what it is that we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to know.
I hope that you guys were able to get a better understanding of, like,
butter.
Who butter a better understanding of, like, who your enemy is. God is not your enemy. We are fighting a different force that has no power compared to God, but it's the amount of power that you allow him to have. Are you opening those doors? Are you falling into temptation? Are you giving him that ammunition?
Like, your friend, your mom, your dad are not the enemy. It's the devil that infiltrates families,
exactly.
Churches.
He hates family. He hates marriages. He hates everything that God loves.
To destroy absolutely everything he can. So again, always praying and always praying for others and praying for spiritual warfare that does happen, and to pray without ceasing.
And equip yourself with the armor of God daily, every single day. Read that. Equip yourself with the armor of God daily, because that's what we need to fight spiritual warfare. You need to live righteously. You need to read your word. You need to be in prayer. It's very, very important. So let's take some time to get into prayer today about this message. And we just pray that you guys have the strength to really fight the spiritual warfare in Christ, because that's really what it's about. It's not our own strength. Lord, we come before you today and we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each and every person, Lord, that has watched this episode. I pray, my God, that you have touched their hearts, that you have opened their spiritual minds and ears, my God, have given them understanding and wisdom, Lord. I pray, my God, that through this episode, Lord, you have spoken through us, that they understand that you are not the enemy, but Satan is, Lord. I pray, my God, that you equip each and every person watching this episode with your holy armor of God, my God, so that we may be able to fight against the attacks of the devil, Lord. The enemy has no power in the lives of your children. The enemy has no standing in our lives, no standing in our situations. I cast him away. I cast away every spirit, every demon that has prohibited people from following you in the name of Jesus Christ, that they may be set free today, Lord. They may be set free from the attacks of the enemy, that they may be set free from his continuous temptation, that they may be set free from every spirit in them that does not abide by your laws, Lord Jesus. I pray, my God, that today is a day of freedom, Lord, that today is a day of salvation, my God, that today they choose to honor you and to live for you and no longer live for the enemy in the world, that they are set free from sin by your holy blood, Jesus Christ. Thank you, my God. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this season, Lord. Thank you, my God. I pray that through this season that so many people have been able to connect with you more, to learn about you, Lord, and to ultimately follow you, my God. I pray that you continue to bless this podcast, that you continue to speak through us, Lord, and you continue to save, my God, continue to save people that do not know you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ.
We thank you, God, for this opportunity to always spread your word, to do as you please, not as we want. We thank you, God, for allowing us to speak of your good works, to speak of the knowledge of the Bible, to speak the truth to these ears that have been hearing lies and deception. God, we ask that you may reform their hearts, that you may open their spiritual ears to be able to receive whatever you want them to receive in their life. God, I ask of you that you may touch their heart so that they may open themselves up to you to be able to receive salvation. As long as they have breath, God, remind them each and every day that you are always there, and that salvation is just a few seconds away from them. That it's always there encompassing them. That you are always there. And that the Holy Spirit wants to enter their lives and transform them in such a special way. God, I ask that any bondage that is within them, any shackles that are within them may be broken. That they may leave in your name, God. That anything that disturbs their life and their happiness and their joy, that it may leave in your name. That anything that wants to hold them back from hearing your word, anything that is covering their ears and locking away their heart, may it defrost, and that you may enter and live within them each and every day. I ask, God, that throughout this podcast journey, that you still continue to bless us, bless the audience, and still provide your love and care each and every day to us, and that it may be your will done in the end. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for watching, and thank you so much for tuning in with us for our first season of Sisters in Spirit. There's so much more to come. We're so excited to continue this journey. We have so many plans for this podcast, and we just want to continue doing the will of God. So we pray that you guys really like this episode. If you haven't watched any of our past episodes, go back and watch them while we're on our little break. We're going to still be active on our social media, so make sure you're following us on Instagram, TikTok, even on YouTube, we're going to be posting. So just make sure that you're still connected with us. We do have a prayer form. We love to hear what you guys would want us to pray about and what you guys would like to see for our upcoming season. If there's any specific topics or episodes that you guys would like to see, please let us know and we'd love to do them for you.
We may even have like off-season episodes, possibly, if you guys want to send us ideas or anything that you want talked about. And also that, again, we're on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, everywhere. You know, visit our Linktree, and that's also where our prayer request is going to be, and everywhere you can find us as well. And yeah.
Thank you guys so much. We're so happy and so excited for next season. We'll see you in season 2.
Bye.